Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, hearing aid technology has come a long way in the last several years. They're less bulky, they're cheaper, you no longer need a doctor's prescriptions, and the new ones are loaded with tech that can help you track other aspects of your health. And with us today, Rachel Lee, great to have her with us, a UW-Madison Clinical Associate Professor and audiologist. She also serves as audiology ambassador for the American Speech Language Hearing Association for Wisconsin. Great to have her here, and I hope you'll join in the conversation. Maybe you have problems hearing, but you don't want to, let's say you're putting off getting hearing aids. Maybe you've tried some new replacements like Apple AirPods or iPhones. What questions do you have? Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Rachel Lee, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How many people suffer from hearing loss?
That's a great question. So primarily with the over-the-counter, which we'll be talking about today, we're thinking about adults. So adults aged 19 and older, there's about 37.5 million Americans who suffer with hearing loss. Of that, only about 16% in the 19 to 69 range do something about it. And over 70, only about 30%. So a lot of hearing loss and not a lot of folks doing something about it.
And people really would benefit, those who have that issue. Why do they avoid getting the hearing aids?
That's a great question. I think that it's multifaceted, right? So you mentioned before people are putting it off. It might be due to the stigma. I think that that's reducing a little bit, but some people don't want to have a visible device on their ears. They think that hearing loss is associated with being older and they don't want to appear older. I think that cost is a big barrier, and that led to where we are in our hearing healthcare market today. I also think that some people just think of hearing loss as a consequence of getting older and they just put up with it.
No, but it really can impact the quality of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hearing loss is associated with a lot of things. Social isolation, that can lead to some depression and anxiety. It can also affect cognitive ability. There's a lot of good research out there that there's an association between the two. So, yes, a lot of consequences other than just not being able to communicate when your hearing loss is untreated.
In November, I think it was, this past November, Apple released AirPods that, when paired with the latest iPhones, can be used as hearing aids. How significant do you think this technology is for people with hearing loss?
Yeah, well, the thing to me that's most significant about it is that it addresses the access issue. So they're not very expensive compared to traditional amplification and hearing technology. So I think that it's wonderful to get more people to try something for their hearing loss. I think that the technology is also there for the right person. I think that that's what we consider when we're thinking about AirPods, other over-the-counter devices, and traditional hearing aids. And we're thinking about what does that user need, what's their life like, and does it fit in? And I think that for some folks, the technology in the AirPods can help.
How does it work? It works between your phone, I assume.
Yes. So, of course, you need to have an iPhone, which that in and of itself can be a barrier for some people. But, yes, they work just like other wireless headphones connect to the iPhone. And then you have the ability within an app on your iPhone or within your settings to adjust how much you're hearing of the ambient noise in the room. You can adjust how it sounds to you. So it's all an interface on the iPhone. So if you're already an Apple user, I think it's pretty user-friendly.
Yeah, I'm already an Apple user, so it would be, my hearing's pretty good, so fortunately. But, you know, when I see somebody with AirPods, I'm probably going to be more reluctant to talk to them.
I think you're right. And I think that's probably one of the big disadvantages of this technology is you don't know what someone's listening to when they have their AirPods in. Are they listening to music? Are they listening to radio? Mm-hmm. And I agree. I think people won't necessarily, you know, communicate or get the attention of somebody if they look like they're listening to other media.
And they kind of stand out. I mean, there are other devices that are far less.
Yes, right. So it doesn't really address the stigma in that way because absolutely they're very visible. I think, though, that we are getting more and more used to seeing things in people's ears. So in that way, I think it can help reduce the stigma of using something in your ears. And, you know, you could think about it either way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I think it was two years ago, the Food and Drug Administration started allowing hearing aids to be sold over the counter. Mm-hmm. Has this resulted in cheaper and easier to get hearing aids?
Yeah, so there's a big market out there, and I think there's a lot of devices that are available. Whether or not people are accessing those devices, I think, remains to be seen. There was a survey a couple years back, and the American Speech Language Hearing Association, which you mentioned, piloted that survey, and it showed that not a lot of people, even though, you know, we waited and waited for these to be available, were actually using those devices. So I think it remains to be seen. It certainly has been a shift in the industry. But I think that having more options, as I mentioned earlier, opens the door for a lot of folks to think about their hearing health.
And there are other hearing aids that use wireless Bluetooth connections to listen to phone calls or podcasts and music, of course. How reliable are these?
That's a great question. So I would say that it's pretty reliable, or at least as reliable as Bluetooth is. As we all know, any of us who have used Bluetooth technology, it can be a little bit finicky. Sometimes you lose the connection, you have to repair. But I would say overall, very stable connection, very good, clear quality streaming. And a lot of folks love that about their hearing aids nowadays.
Yeah. Blake emailed and said he is a firearms instructor in Madison. He teaches students to always double up on hearing protection. What considerations are those for those with hearing aids participating in shooting sports?
That's a great question, Blake, and thank you for suggesting your students double up. That's exactly what I would recommend as well. And I think that we cannot think about any type of hearing aid, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription, as a means to protect our hearing. So if somebody is a firearm user and they utilize amplification, I would always recommend that they take those out in those scenarios. That can be difficult, you know, if you are hunting or something and you're trying to listen for very low-level sounds. But there are devices that amplify that and then detect an impulse noise and kind of clamp down and protect the hearing.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking about my dad, who was a champion trap shooter and skeet shooter. And so shooting hundreds and hundreds of rounds, shotgun rounds, he always wore a protection. But over time, I think it affected his hearing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So we're thinking about noise as a two-prong issue. So it's not only the intensity of the noise or how loud it is, but it's also how long we're listening for, and it's cumulative within a day and over time. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Lois in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Lois.
Hi. I'm wondering, for a person who's been tested by audiology at UW Health in Madison and was told their hearing isn't bad enough to have a hearing aid, but yet the hearing isn't getting any better, what can that person do? Just wait and be retested, or do you have any ideas?
That's a great question. So there are a lot of different things that could lead to that recommendation. We have sort of benchmarks and ideas about when a hearing aid will be worth the cost. So as with any decision a consumer makes, there's a cost-benefit analysis. And I think if the hearing loss isn't quite as severe, you know, I think some audiologists make that recommendation because of the cost of traditional amplification. But for me and many audiologists, the most important thing about hearing aids is that you are motivated and that you notice a deficit in your life. It's affecting the quality of your life. So, you know, I think without knowing the specifics of your results, I think getting a second opinion would be reasonable, or retesting. Traditionally, with any hearing loss, we recommend you get evaluated annually and revisit the question at that point.
Yeah. And even if they say, if you're told by whoever you're working with that, well, you don't really need it, can you just get one anyway?
You could, absolutely. I think, yeah, there's lots of different scenarios. And, you know, if people are in very challenging listening environments, that hearing loss may affect them more. So I think, you know, you want to advocate for yourself. If you feel like you need some assistance, you need some amplification, I think it's reasonable to advocate for yourself and revisit that question.
I've always passed those tests, but I do notice, like, when I'm watching TV with my daughter, she will always want the volume turned down.
Yeah, that's a very common thing in a household.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Lois, thanks again. Appreciate it. Perry in Oconto will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Perry.
Yes, hello. I have a question about the hearing aids and hunting. I have a pair of, they're supposed to reduce the noise reduction by about 22 decibels, but they're also FDA approved for use as a hearing aid. But the problem I have with them is that the sounds don't sound natural when I have those in. Of course, they block off the ear canal and everything, and they have their microphone to amplify it. Any tips or tricks, because when I can even hear my feet walking on a floor when I have them in?
That is a great question and something that I encounter on a pretty daily basis in clinic. I think that the best piece of advice I have is to just continue using them. When you're new to something, your brain takes a little bit of time to acclimate. You have to kind of reteach yourself how to listen to those certain things. So the example of hearing your footsteps, that is likely audible to somebody with normal hearing. Your brain, if you're not hearing that as well without the devices, is going to pay a lot of attention to what it feels is a new sound, a new stimulus in the environment. So the best advice is to wear them as regularly as needed for hearing, and then hopefully those sorts of things won't be quite as noticeable.
Perry, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Rachel Lee, our guest today, UW-Madison Clinical Associate Professor and audiologist, also serves as audiology ambassador for the American Speech Language Hearing Association for Wisconsin. Great to have her with us. Questions for her as we talk about hearing aids. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We're taking a look at hearing aids today on the show, and hearing with Rachel Lee, UW-Madison Clinical Associate Professor and audiologist. Great to have her with us today as we talk about those hearing aids. There's a lot of new things out on the market, and certainly worth talking about. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Question, how do you get your hearing tested? Is there a standard test that needs to be administrated by an audiologist, or could it be done by a service online? And I think there are ways, for example, with the AirPods, there's an online kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a great question. So for anybody with hearing loss, I'm biased, of course, but I do think that a full comprehensive evaluation with an audiologist is a good first step whether or not you're going to continue seeing them for amplification. There's a lot of value in doing that. But with the over-the-counter devices, they're self-fit, and traditionally that means that you would also do some sort of either online test, or with the AirPods, with that specific case, it's part of the app or the function within there. It does a hearing test. I don't have any evidence on the accuracy. I only have anecdotal evidence, and that is that it's pretty comparable to what you would see in a hearing evaluation with an audiologist. The one caveat, of course, being that you're not in a sound-treated booth, so it may actually show that your hearing is worse than it actually is because of ambient noise in your environment affecting your results.
Ed in McFarland has a question. Hi, Ed. What's on your mind?
Hi. My question is, so I have mild hearing loss and not so mild tinnitus. Wondering what the latest you know about helping people with tinnitus is.
That's a great question. A lot of people who have hearing loss also suffer from tinnitus. And I think that hearing aids or amplification is always a good first step. I think that when you have tinnitus, and we don't know the exact cause of it, but we are learning more and more all the time about it. When you have tinnitus, the theory is that the brain is not receiving a signal from the ear like it once was because of hearing loss. And so there's this sort of phantom signal that comes in. So the thinking behind amplification is that if you restore that strong connection between the ear and the brain, that it reduces that tinnitus or that ringing. So a lot of folks do really well with hearing aids when they have tinnitus. If it's more bothersome and it affects your ability to concentrate or to fall asleep, read a book, then I would certainly talk with a healthcare professional about it, your physician or an audiologist, and then there are additional steps you can take.
It's kind of weird. I have a little bit of tinnitus, too, but a lot of times I will not be aware of it at all.
Yeah, and it's sort of this negative cycle where if you're thinking about it, it's more prominent and it goes round and round. But, you know, that is just person specific. So if somebody tends to be more bothered by those sorts of things, it may make their tinnitus more noticeable.
I didn't notice it at all until Ed brought it up.
Oh, no. Thanks, Ed.
I do thank you, though, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Tim in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'm actually calling for my mother, who's in her 90s. And she had a virus that took away the hearing in one of her ears, and it's terrible in the other ear. And I kind of have two questions. One, is there a cochlear implant that would help with the ear where she's lost her hearing? And or is there an over-the-counter hearing aid that has sufficient volume to help somebody with severe hearing loss?
Those are both great questions, and I think I'll answer your second question first. So an important thing to think about with over-the-counter devices is that they are intended for people with what they call self-perceived mild to moderate hearing loss. It sounds like in your mom's case, that wouldn't quite be appropriate, and in that case, it wouldn't even provide enough amplification for her to be beneficial. So she would potentially, as you stated, be a candidate for a cochlear implant. The one thing to think about is how long she's had the hearing loss in that ear. That may affect her success with the cochlear implant. So I would definitely recommend that you, take the steps and do the evaluation for the cochlear implant and see if she's a good candidate.
Yeah, there you go, Tim. Good luck. Thank you. Bill in Wausau, we'll go to you. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. With regard to tinnitus, when I had my first experience with it, they told me if it rings, don't answer it. But my problem now is I've had hearing aids for a number of years prescribed by a commercial place, a storefront place, and they've been working good. And I had a problem over Thanksgiving, not hearing what was going on, and over Christmas. So I went in asked to have them readjusted, and she gave me another test. And she said, you're just above profound or whatever that word is. And she said, have you, what's been different? And I said, well, I had COVID over Thanksgiving. And she said, some people have hearing loss because of COVID. So now I'm in the midst of deciding, do I get the better technology she's talking about, you know, at X number of thousands of dollars? I've got an appointment with another real audiologist in a clinic to see what happens. But one of the things she tells me is that the technology of the hearing aids amplifies certain frequencies and ranges, and I have trouble hearing certain kinds of voices. Can you talk a little about that and a little about the cost-benefit ratio for people in their 80s who are in my situation?
Hmm. Absolutely. All great points and great questions. I think that the over-the-counter devices would not be great for you, given that she mentioned that the hearing loss is in the profound range, or at least a portion of it. I think that it's important to work with somebody who is going to adjust the hearing aid to be very specific for your hearing profile. You probably hear differently in the low pitches than you do in the high pitches, and the hearing aids should account for that. I also think that your examples of Thanksgiving and Christmas and having a challenge listening in those environments, you want to think about the technology in the device. The hearing aids nowadays, so much energy is put into improved hearing in noisy situations because pretty much everyone with hearing loss struggles in those environments. The more sophisticated technology is going to do a better job of reducing that background noise, or at least not amplifying it, and honing in on what you want to listen to. So that's a discussion, you know, the cost benefit, but also a needs assessment. You need to talk with the audiologist or whomever you're working with about your life, what sorts of environments you're in, and then you work together collaboratively to decide what technology is best for you.
All good points, Bill. Thank you for calling. Tom in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Good, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been told I could use hearing aids. I've noticed that I have some difficulty determining what consonants might be being said by people. But I also have a condition called hyperacusis, where certain tones really irritate my ears. And your guest has been talking about amplification. And my concern is, how do you balance the need for hearing aids with a concern about certain sounds being amplified and just, you know, irritating you all the more?
Hmm.
That is a great question, and one that, you know, is a plug for working with an audiologist, because audiologists are the experts in hearing loss and how humans hear. But we're also well trained in disorders or conditions like hyperacusis. And I strongly feel that amplification is not a one size fits all approach. I think it's very important to work with somebody, tell them your concerns, and then they can, within the software, adjust the amplification in certain ranges. So if you are bothered by more high frequency sounds or high pitch sounds, like, you know, dishes clanging is a common one that people report, they can adjust the maximum output of a hearing aid in that region to make it more comfortable for you.
Tom, there you go. Thank you. Jan in Beaver Dam. Hi.
Yes, good morning. My problem is I have severe tinnitus, and I'm seeing an audiologist on a regular basis, and I have hearing devices that are supposed to help mask the noise from the tinnitus, but so far, no success.
Hmm. So sounds like some adjustments are needed there, or perhaps a different device, Rachel?
Yeah, I think, you know, without knowing the specifics of what device you're using, I think maybe in addition to device, there are some other strategies, and it's not my area of expertise, but there are other strategies such as cognitive behavioral therapy and other things that will adjust the way that you think about your tinnitus, and you can get some relief there. So I'd recommend working with somebody who is trained in treating people with tinnitus, maybe as their specialty.
All right. Jan, thanks. And John, a quick question from Appleton.
Thank you very much. I'm a pediatrician, and I got a friend of mine asked me, I got this feedback from a local over-the-counter shop saying, I have an audiometric air bone gap equal to or greater than 15 decibels at 500, 1,000, or 2,000 hertz, recommending they should go see ENT. And their question for me was, well, can't you just sign my form so I can get some over-the-counter hearing aids? And I wouldn't do that because I'm not evaluating them. But what can I tell them? The issue is that they've had childhood ear infections and probably perforations. And should I just tell them it may be that over-the-counter amplification isn't going to work for you and you should have a more evaluation?
Just to clarify, is that for a child or for a friend of yours or someone you know?
I think it was for
an adult friend.
For an adult friend.
Got 20 seconds
okay,
to
20
close
seconds.
Here, or even 10 seconds.
Okay, so I would just say a quick answer is that seeing a medical professional would be good in the case of an ear bone gap.
There you go. I thank you so much. Obviously, we need to have you on again. Thank you very much. Rachel Lee from the UW-Madison.